Sometimes one needs encouragement. Do you think that? Do you like being encouraged? Yeah, well, I've got bits of encouragement today, right? When I got up, I decided I was going to wear this jumper, right? And look, it's got a kiwi on it. So, hey. And, you know, it's also when we arrived earlier, we went into the prayer meeting, and it was a really good prayer meeting. I walked into the room, and I just felt a real sense of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, with Ian's good pleasure and the Holy Spirit's good pleasure, this ought to be good. I like coming to Slough. I just feel that if River's going to have a church anywhere, it needs to be in Slough. I think this location is absolutely wonderful, and I have a real vision for what this church is going to become. I can see this room not being big enough, even without the, you know, we'll expand into the next area as well. I was really encouraged by the whole idea of the prayer walk. We did a prayer walk in Marlow, and we went around all the houses, and we just prayed a blessing on each house that we passed. We stood outside and we prayed a blessing, whether they wanted it or not. We prayed a blessing on every house in Marlow. And there's some good things that are happening over there. And I just feel within this area, I can see the whole place transformed. I can see that being a Christian will be a norm. I can see young people getting involved and having just a real blast getting involved in church. I can see young mothers. And those lovely little twins over there, they're just beautiful. I can see lots and lots of mothers with young children. I can see lots of older people. I think you're going to transform this entire area, and I can see this church growing absolutely significantly. So it's so exciting, and it's a great place to be. I'm going to preach on the entire book of an entire book of the Bible today. So I hope you got a lot of time, and this lunch can be till late. But you'll be pleased to know that the book I'm going to speak about is the book of Philemon. And it's got one chapter, it's got 335 words, and it's the third smallest book in the Bible. The other two are 1 and 2 John. But, you know, when you read Philemon, first of all, you think, oh, why is this here? You know, you get all these wise theologians many years ago deciding what books were going into the Bible. And you think, well, yeah, so why this one? And so perhaps we'll get a bit of an understanding of it. So in the book of Philemon, it has three main characters, all right? There's Paul, the great apostle. He's in prison, either in Rome or Ephesus, probably. The book was written in AD 59 to 61, sometime in that period. Now, there are three main characters, all right? So there's Paul, the second one is Philemon. And Philemon was a wealthy Colossian businessman. He was a leader of a church that met in his house. And his name means loving or affectionate or kissing. You know, how many guys would like to have a name like that? Oh, hello, kissing. How I get off. But that's what his name means. Loving, affectionate, kissing. He became a Christian probably in Ephesus as a result of Paul's preaching. So he was someone who'd become a Christian because of Paul's preaching. So that's two of them. The third one is a guy called Onesimus. Now, he was a native Phrygian. Now, how many native Phrygians do you know? I probably pronounced that right. You probably know how to pronounce it better, do you? No? No. But anyway, let's say he's a Phrygian. And they, at one time, had a great empire. And if you go online and you look up Phrygian, you have a Phrygian helmet. It's made out of leather, and it covers your head and goes down the sides. It's quite a nice, if you want to wear a helmet, then a Phrygian helmet's quite good. They were very powerful about the 8th century BC. But then they'd been invaded, and a lot of their population had been assimilated into other countries. Onesimus' name means profitable,
or useful. And in verse 11, it says, Paul says, formerly he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. So he's playing on the fact that Onesimus, who was a slave, was profitable, but then he became useless, and Paul wants him to become profitable again. There are a few minor parts in this letter. One is somebody called Appia, and Appia is Philemon's wife. And the other one is a guy called Archippus, and Archippus is Philemon's son. And then there are a few people who are mentioned at the end of the letter, you know, like, say hello to so-and-so and so-and-so. But anyway, those are the main ones. So let's just run through the story. Can we get Philemon up behind me? So you can at least read it, and that will be good. So Paul is interesting the way he's written this letter. He starts off by telling Philemon what a great guy he is. He says, you know, Philemon, you're wonderful, you're great, you run a brilliant church, it's really nice. And he says, in verse 4, he says, that you, brother, have refreshed the heart of the Lord's people. So you just imagine that's you, all right? You're Philemon, and you get this letter from the great apostle, and he's saying, hey, you're just wonderful. I really appreciate your ministry. You're great. You're a fabulous person. You're kind to everybody. You start feeling a bit good, you see. So there's Philemon reading the letter, feeling really good about himself. And then he decides to, Paul pushes in on the reason for his letter. Now, Onesimus was a slave, and he'd, it looks in the Bible as though he actually had taken money from Philemon, and he'd run away. And so, you know, in those days, if you were a slave and you ran away, that was pretty serious. If you'd stolen money as well, that was even more serious. So Onesimus ran away, in verse 18, in fact, it says, if he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. So it's probable that he had done something wrong and that he had taken money. So quite what happened after that. So Paul is writing to Philemon. He said, look, I know Onesimus has run away, but I really like him. He's been a great help to me, and you know, he's a changed man. And I would like you to receive him back, and not receive him back as a slave, but to receive him back as a brother. So, you know, why would a famous apostle get to know Onesimus, who is nobody? Well, we don't know, it doesn't say. But clearly, Paul was very affectionate to this guy. So Paul said to Philemon, please forgive him. I think he uses a bit of manipulative language in there. He said, you know, I could command this, but hey, you know, I'm not going to do that. But, you know, I mean, we've got to accept that. I don't know what we've got to accept anyway. Paul says to Philemon, please forgive him. Now, just imagine what that means. Yeah, here you are. You're a wealthy businessman in a city. Everybody knows everybody. And Paul is saying to Philemon, I want you to welcome this guy back. I want you to forgive him. I want you to receive him as a brother. Well, all his friends in the in other businesses in Colossae, what will they say? They say, oh, well, you know, if you forgive him, then that's going to encourage all the other slaves to run away. And this isn't good. This isn't good for the general state and the stability of the area. So all sorts of things. Paul, this was a big ask. This wasn't a little ask. This was a big ask. And but it is what Paul is asking Philemon. So when he read the letter, having been quite happy about up to about verse 4, when he was hearing how wonderful he was, he's now thinking, oh no, I thought I got rid of that guy. I mean, now I've got to do this. What is going on? And it's interesting. So what did Philemon do? It does seem as though he did what Paul asked. The book of Colossians was written in AD, between AD 62 and AD 80. So the first one was 59 to 61, and the second one was 62, between 62 and 80. And in Colossians 4, verse 7 to 9, it says, "My good friend Tychicus will tell you all about me. He's a trusted minister and companion in the service of the Master. I've sent him to you so that you would know how things are with us, and so he could encourage you in your faith. And I've sent Onesimus with him." Now then, that's interesting, isn't it? So Onesimus is one of you and has become such a trusted and dear brother. Together they'll bring you up to date of everything that's been going on here. So Philemon somehow had found his way to forgive Onesimus, as Paul had asked him. Now, Onesimus was martyred in AD 95 in Colossae, but he was martyred at the same time as Philemon, his wife Appia, and his son Archippus, on the instruction of Emperor Nero. Isn't that amazing? So, runaway slave, forgiven by Philemon, released really into ministry on behalf of the kingdom, and then they died together. I think that's really quite an extraordinary story. And I think the reason that the book of Philemon was written is as a teaching for not just Philemon, but for all of us, about the need to forgive and to be reconciled. So, I think we all have stories of people who've treated us badly. Does anybody have a story that, I'm not going to ask you to tell it, but have people treated you badly? Have they made you very angry? Yeah, you can put your hand up if you want. Yeah. So we all have stories of people. I was living in Egypt, and my wife and I were running an Alpha course in our house. And in Alpha courses, there's a section on forgiveness. And, you know, my thoughts about forgiveness, you know, Auntie Flo, who embarrassed me somewhere at a particular time, or Santa who said something nasty to me. And so I was telling all these people, you know, you must forgive. And then this guy is a Sudanese guy, my name is Solomon. And he said, "I can't forgive." And I said, "Well, why?" He said, "Well, I was living in Sudan, and the military came to my village, and my father was a leader in the church, and they gathered all the leaders, and they told them they had to renounce their faith and become Muslims. And my father refused, and so they tied them all up to a tree in the center of the village, and they said to them, you have to renounce your faith. And they refused, and then the soldiers killed them." He said, "After that, they took my, the soldiers took my sister away and raped her. And it was all horrible." He said, "How can I forgive?" And I thought, ooh, right, that's a difficult one. But, you know, the thing is, when we hold things against people, it usually has a bigger impact on us than it does on them. And so I said that to him, and I said, "Look, I really encourage you just to pray. Pray a prayer of forgiveness over that whole situation." And I said, "It's not going to make any difference to them, but it is going to make a difference to you." And he did, and I think it really helped him a lot. He was subsequently resettled by the UN, and I think is now living in Australia. So there we are. I had a friend who I was... I wanted to buy a house. He had a house to sell, and so I came to England to have a look at the house, and I felt I didn't want to buy it, and so I rang him up. I said, "I want to buy a house." I thought that was it. A year later, I found out that he'd been holding this against me all year. He'd been talking to a lot of our mutual friends about what a dreadful person I was and how I'd reneged on a transaction. And that really hurt me because, you know, his view of what had happened and my view of what had happened is very different. But, you know, what you're going to do? Are you going to hold that and just carry it with you, that anger and that upset? Or are you actually going to forgive the person and be reconciled? And really, that is the whole of the message that I want to give. I haven't finished yet, though. But, you know, we have issues in our lives, things that we hold against other people and we refuse to let go, often because we think we have a right to be angry. But we, in God, we don't. We're called to be ministers of reconciliation. And so we have to both make sure that in our lives we keep short records and we forgive and we ask for forgiveness. And then as we go out into our community, and in this community here, we have to minister that reconciliation. In John 10:10, it says, "The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy." So to bring enmity and discord. But Jesus came that they might have life and have it to the full. And life to the full means forgiveness and reconciliation. Nothing making us look behind. We don't need to bring the past into the present. We need to bring a vision of the future into the present so it guides our steps in a positive way. I think studying this and considering it, if you look at the Bible and you say, what does the Bible teach? It is what the Bible teaches. It's reconciliation. It's forgiveness. You know, man fell, sinned, and what did God do? He didn't sort of go off and sulk. He put into process a plan for reconciliation, an opportunity for forgiveness. 2 Corinthians 5:18 to 21 says, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God." And God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. So this whole thing, if you did a go on to Google and you put in reconciliation plus Bible, then you'll get all these scriptures on reconciliation. It is absolutely key, but it's something that we need to build into our lives. Now, what I want you to do, I've got some more to do, but just close your eyes so nobody can see what you're going to do. All right? Close your eyes. And if you feel that you've got an unreconciled relationship in your life, then I want you to put your hand up. If you've got somebody in you need to forgive, then put your hand up. Lord Jesus, we often come across situations where we get hurt or we get upset and we hold things against people. And we just don't want that. We want to have just a forward-looking relationship with everyone we meet. We want to be people who easily forgive because you've forgiven us. And we want to be reconciled in Jesus' name. Philippians 3:13-14 says, "One thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining forward to what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." So, not looking to the past, dealing with that, and then moving forward into the future. There's a great scripture. It's Romans 12:18. He says, "If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Yeah, but that is a discipline. That is a, it's I know people in River, good, strong Christians who've held upset, anger against other people for a long, long time. It's almost now too difficult to resolve because they don't want to dig up the past again. But if it has, if it's having an impact on the way they relate, then they do need to actually deal with it. You know, you've got to be sensitive, obviously. You know, sometimes we can download our irritation onto somebody else and then they're going to be upset with that for a while. But we do need to be reconciled. We do need to forgive. And I think if sometimes we do things that are wrong and there are people who need forgive us. I'm sure this guy, this friend of mine with the house, he felt that he was right and I was wrong. So, you know, he needs to forgive me. I need to forgive him. Sometimes it's not our fault. People have got upset unjustly. And, you know, there are, you know, there's not a lot we can do. But if we're aware of the situation, what I think we need to do is to pray a prayer of blessing over the people you've upset. So in my case, well, in Solomon's case, he could say, Lord Jesus, I just pray a blessing on those soldiers. They didn't know what they were doing. And I pray you'll just bless them, forgive them, and take them forward. And so if you've got people in your lives, and you can say, pray the same prayer and then see what God does. But it's an attitude of heart and it's a sign of your maturity. So that's really what I wanted to say. I encourage you to read through Philemon with all these bits that I've given you, and you'll see what Paul is trying to do. There's an organization called Prison Fellowship, and Prison Fellowship has a ministry in the prisons in England, and they have groups of people who go on and they take people through different programs. And it's their aim to get people to meet the people who they've hurt. So there was a young guy and he was with two friends. They were driving in the car. They were all drunk and the driver had an accident. And the driver was okay, but his passenger was killed. And the driver was given a prison term. And mother of the guy who was killed, having gone through all sorts of pain and anger and upset, she went into the prison as part of this program, which is all about reconciliation, helping people to understand the impact they've had on the people they've hurt. But it is important that we deal with these issues. So if you have any, then make a commitment that you're going to sort them out. And going forward, you're going to live your life with short records where you ask for forgiveness and where you forgive so that we can live in reconciliation. I think you've got some great people here. I think it's good to speak blessing out on each other. If there are things you like about each other, then go and tell them. Anne. Okay. I mean, your sort of excitement and your positive attitude, and you know, you want to be a blessing into places that you go, and I just think that's brilliant, and something I'd really, really appreciate in you. Then this lady at the back, I think your name is quite difficult to pronounce. No, next to my wife. Madvi. I got it right. I mean, listening to you pray, I tell you what, I get excited just listening to you. And, you know, just the scriptures you bring into your prayers and just a real passion and a focus. I think that's an amazing gift. And I think you're an all-round superstar. And when I walked into the prayer meeting this morning and you just started speaking,
It was just as though the Holy Spirit was just there. It was on you, and it was just wonderful. And that's a real gift, and something I really, really would really appreciate with you. So who else has got something they like about somebody here? Come on, be brave. Something you like about somebody else who's sitting here. Come on.
Oh, well, I'm going to talk about you, so there you go. Just want to say I really appreciate your faithfulness over all these years. And I mean a long time. You're still here. Isn't there a song, Still Faithful After All These Years? And I just appreciate that with both of you.
You're not allowed to say nice things about her now.
Right, I'd like to just say that I like Aileen and I like everything about her. Everything.
That's good.
I just want to say that I appreciate Florine. She's so beautiful and she's always smiley and she just brings something very special to the church.
Right, we're getting on a roll now. What? Who else? Who likes Ian? Okay, so who's going to say something about Ian, about what they like? Ian's got a few things that he... I mean, his wife's not very well at the moment. Leading a church, anyway, is quite a lot of pressure, potentially. He doesn't like the cold weather. So let's give him some words of encouragement.
I appreciate Ian, because I know he has a lot of blessing and anointing. And what I want to do is basically encourage him to be able to structure his mind and to allow it to flow onto us. But yes, it's been a great blessing to me.
That's good.
I think Ian is absolutely wonderful. You've got such an amazing heart and a passion for people. You've got a love that flows out of you, Ian. God loves you so much, but you've got a heart, and there's a harvest that's going to come to you. God hasn't brought you from where you've come from. He's brought you for a divine purpose. That there's a calling. You're not just called, but you're chosen. But there's a purpose that God has brought you here for. And I really believe that you're going to come into something very soon where God's going to bring people to you. He's going to take you to places you've never been. He's going to bring people into your life. God has said that He has not made you go through things. There's been a reason why you had to go through what you had to go through. Only you know that. God knows the years of pain, the years that you have sown, the years that the enemy has taken away from you. God has said that he's brought you into that place where he has brought in that abundance, but he's done a work in you, Ian, and it's not for nothing. You and your wife are going to come into something very, very soon. Very, very soon. There's a harvest coming to you, but you're a wonderful man, and I love you very much.
Thank you. Certain amount of an agreement there. I mean, there are so many wonderful people around. I mean, Di is just amazing. I mean, she's been serving with the big year and Ignite and all the rest, just bringing people on in their faith. For 7 years now? Seven. I mean, it's extraordinary, just the love and the commitment and the wisdom. I was talking to somebody yesterday evening, who was just telling me how much she enjoys talking with you, and you effectively discipling her, and how she relies on, oh, she capitalize on input that you give. And so I really want to thank you for that. And for I did a big year, and Di was leading that, and I really benefited for that. So I need one more, and then I'll... there we go.
I think it's very difficult when you get asked to say something wonderful about one person, because actually I think there are so many wonderful people in this church who give so much, and it's hard to know which one to choose. So I'm just going to say three, if that's all right. But this is, I didn't know who to choose, but I'm going to say Mary. I think you're so wonderful. You're such a blessing to so many people. And Elizabeth, who's so faithful, and you're always up there playing the music, even when you're in pain. I think you're amazing. John, you're just an encouragement and a light to so many people, including me, and I thank you.
Actually, Elizabeth, when you were sitting up there, I could sort of see you in this isn't a prophetic thing that's going to happen, but it was as though you were in one of these music groups in the 1960s, now on keyboards. I thought it was very exciting. Right then, I've got one opportunity more for somebody to say something nice about some people, and this is totally random.
So what do I have to do?
Encourage somebody here.
Oh, okay. I want to... okay. Well, I really want to encourage Craig, because I think the way that you... the way you are so dedicated to the PA, and I've just... Since I've been coming... to Slough Church right from the beginning. I think from the very first day you've been doing it, and you're just amazing at it. So, yeah, I really want to encourage you to not look at it as work, but just something that really is a blessing upon you. So, yeah.
Great.
Okay, so this is cool. I like doing this. I really want to encourage Caleb, because your videos are so funny. And even when I've come to your house and you've shown us the stuff that you've done, which was ages ago, I know, but you're so good at it. So keep it up.
Thank you. So that's where I'm going to stop. I think sometimes when we talk about the prophetic, we make it too narrow. But to be able to speak out things that you see over different people is actually very, very, very powerful. Because we automatically assume that everyone else can see it. But in fact, we can't. This is God, by the power of his Holy Spirit, putting thoughts into your mind, putting emotions into you, so that you can speak those out. And I think we all need to hear good things about ourselves, too. I've just got one last thing to this young lady here. What's your name? Judith?
Julie.
Julie, I really just feel a real sense of God's love for you. And it's embarrassing having somebody like me with a microphone speaking to you. But I think you're going to have a really exciting, a really good life. And it's your daughter. Yeah. And you're going to achieve even more than your mother's ever achieved. You're a great kid. And God loves you. He's going to have his arm around you all the time. So thank you.